So good morning, everyone. Let me thank the organizing committee for the invitation and Relife for organizing this very interesting meeting. So the topic of my presentation is an answer, trying to find an answer to the unmet needs we see in acne patients in the pediatric and adolescent age. Non obbedisce. Okay, so the roadmap of my presentation is a quick introduction on acne in pediatric and adolescent age. Then we will move to this question: what are the unmet needs we have in acne? And do we have solutions to fill the gap? Oops. Un po' disobbediente questo.
Sto verde per andare avanti.
Oops. So in acne patients in pediatric and adolescent age, we have different ages. So we have neonatal age, neonatal acne from birth to 6 weeks of age. We have infantile acne from 6 weeks to 1 year. We have mid-childhood acne from 1 year to 7 years, and this is the most important type of acne. We have to study these patients because very frequently there is a hormonal misfits behind. So the pre-adolescent acne is after 7 to 12 years of age, or menarche in girls. And about adolescents, we have after 12 to 19 years, or after menarche in girls. So acne is a very frequent disease. It has been estimated around 9.4% of the entire population affected around the world, and it ranks as eighth most frequent disease around the world. So it may affect around 80 to 90% of adolescents, so very, very frequent. And it peaks 14-17 in females and 16-19 in males. Just to show you some aspects of very active phase of acne, so patients affected with polycystic ovary syndrome, severe case of acne in adolescent, and the first case I have seen in my life. This is the third picture. It is the first case of acne fulminans I have seen in a prepubertal girl. Then we have also in adolescents a relevant location of acne on the trunk. And on the lower row, we have the sequelae. So we have acne-induced erythema. This is a new definition. You will see the publication, it is coming. And again, an acne-induced erythema in the bigger areas, and acne-induced hyperpigmentation. And a case of so-called acne excoriae with excoriation and scars. In my view, acne excoriae, it is not really a different types of acne. It is just acne patients that scratches, manipulate, and squeeze. So, So now we move to the main point, the first of the two main points. What are the unmet needs? You see a long list of situations, so we have a lot of work to do. But we have to keep separated the disease-related unmet needs from the patient-related unmet needs. So as a disease-related, we know that this is a recurrent disease, waxing and waning in nature. So we also have a seasonal variation of the impact of the patient. You know very well how our patients, maybe mostly female patients through the summer, are afraid about the coming of summer because they do not like to show themselves with the acne on the trunk. So this is also a very complex disease in management. Sometimes we have problems in terms of diagnosis. It is not always acne. We have to remember that sometimes we have folliculitis in front of us, maybe gram-negative folliculitis, or may have cases of rosacea instead of real acne. And sometimes you have concurrent comorbidities. You have seen patients with polycystic ovary syndrome. Sometimes you have other hormonal misfits. We have genetic problems like 21 azoxylase deficiency. But we have to remember one specific point. What are our goals? what we want to reach with the patient we have in front of us. We are looking for a full clearance, or we are okay with a partial clearance, and how much? Well, we are satisfied with a partial clearance, how much? 10%, 15%, 20%, maybe the remaining part of acne that anyway makes us happy? It's difficult to say, and we have to personalize. And we have to think about how many weeks, months, or years are we expecting to spend to reach the goals we are planned. So you have to talk about that with the patients. So we need to also consider the maintenance treatment. And it is very important to deal with the sequelae, because when the patient clears off from the acting phase of acne, the patient starts to say, oh, doctor, I have scars, I have hyperpigmentation, I have erythema. What do we do? So they switch the interest from active acne to sequelae. And we have to remember that the treatment of sequelae, scars in particular, are very difficult, and it is less satisfying in comparison with the treatment we may have about active acne. And another unmet need is treatment side effects. So now we move to the patient-related unmet needs. The psychological burden is the most important one. We have patients who have social and personal, emotional problems with related to this disease. They frequently are dissatisfied with their appearance. They have very negative self-perception, they have a negative, they are feared about negative evaluation of peers. So it is a real problem. And what is important to say is that low self-esteem, depression, isolation, and suicide are all reported. We have seen before the problem in terms of psychological problems that patients, acne patients, have. And we have to remember that the suicide and depression, you remember what I mean about oral isotretinoin, is frequently related to acne itself. It is not necessarily related to treatment. And we have to remember we have patients with dysmorphophobia. These patients are never happy. They are cleared off, but the patients are not happy. You have to look for, to identify these patients. And also mild cases of acne may be cause of psychological discomfort. We have to try to understand that specific point. And psychological problems are one of the most important lifestyle triggers. So this is a waving disease, waxing and waning, and we have to try to understand what are exactly the triggering factors. And the psychological points are very important. My goes off the problem of adolescent patients. I move to adult acne patients. In adult acne patients, the triggering factors of a flare are very frequently psychological and stressful events. So another point for patients is the previously ineffective treatments. Patients negatively treated in the past may have a negative approach to coming treatments. And also skin types. We have patients usually with a very oily skin, but sometimes the skin is very fair, and sometimes it's also ultra sensitive. So this is a problem in terms of treatment with the topical products. Sometimes the patient use incorrectly the accompanying treatments, I mean cosmetics. And what is important to remember is that patients with a family history of severe acne may more frequently than others have a second course of oral isotretinoin. And patients with a family history of sequelae may more frequently have themselves sequelae, like scars. This is the IDOM group, the International Dermatological Outcome Measures. We are working on the way to give a design shared by all the dermatologists in order to make clinical trials in an acceptable, shared way. So what is interesting to say at this point is that the first part of this work has been it has taken 3 years, but at the end of the day we have given the conclusion that these 7 items are the most important ones, identified as the most important ones in order to be studied, to give clinical trials in a correct way. So as you can see, these 7 items are the included in the list of unmet needs we have just mentioned. So again, this is related. Now we move to the to fill the gap. So are we able to solve the question, to give an answer to the unmet needs? So we go to the disease related part, and we have to pay attention to the correct diagnosis, and we have to pay attention to the personalized, quick and adequate treatment of the acute phase. Let me go to this interesting paper. 4 years ago, José Luis López de Barrans from Spain and his colleagues considered between the group of patient-related factors also psychological distress. And what is important for me to stress is that he stated the presence of significant psychological distress attributable to acne increases the severity of the disease by 1 level. The example, patient with a level 1 with an investigator global assessment, but the patient is affected with a severe discomfort from the psychological point of view. So we have to consider, I fully agree with him, and I thank him for giving this input, we have to consider the patient with a level 2 of severity, not level 1. So we must be more aggressive, more strong with the treatment, and more with a very stronger treatment. We have to remember that sometimes we have to review the evolution of the treatment. So we have to switch, to reconsider the treatment, to escalate or de-escalate the dosage. And we have to remember that this is a recurring disease. So our plans should be long-term, and we have to include in the management of the patients the maintenance treatment. And we have to remember that sometimes we need laboratory assessment or hormonal workup, but not only in women, also in men. Sometimes you have hyperproduction of androgens. So we may find the glands producing androgens with a high production of dehydroxytestosterone or delta 4 androstenedione. So we have to check the blood levels, and we have to take care of sequelae, and we have to remember that the patient should be addressed with the correct information about the disbeliefs. So around the open comedones and elimination of open comedones, it is correct to do that. And on the other side, regarding the acne therapy, it is allowed also in the summertime. Obviously, the patient should follow the established rules, but it is possible, in my view, and I do that regularly, on a regular basis, treatment of acne also during the summertime, oral isotretinoin included. So we also have to discuss with the patients the type of treatment we advise. We have to involve them in the decision, and we have to listen for their preference in terms of treatment. And we have to talk with them about the techniques for application of topicals and the modalities of oral assumptions, and also talk about side effects. But one very important point is the general skincare, how they can manage the accompanying products, I mean active non-pharmacologic agents and cosmetics. And let me show here that the active non-pharmacological treatment is very important together with cosmetics. And we have a personal experience. It has been a spontaneous observational multi-center study. It has been done in Italy, in our country, with 41 patients. And patients were affected by mild comedonal and papular acne. And Papixlon was used in the morning, at night, and the Papix cleanser twice a day. And the follow-up lasted 8 weeks, with T0, T1 at 4 weeks, and T2 at 8 weeks, What we saw with the, in terms of clinical efficacy was a relevant reduction in numbers of arc lesions. I mean, comedones, I mean, papules and pustules. It is easy for you to see how the number of blackheads, papules and pustules decreased over the time. And it has been a statistical significance. About the acne-related discomfort, same way, you see, like the visual analog scale score about the discomfort was evident after two months of the treatment, here, from here to here. And in terms of tolerability and acceptability, the same results, a great improvement with an excellent over 90% of the cases in it has been the results we have seen. And a patient affected with acne treated with this combination. And a few words on the products. The first one, the high is a treatment for acne patients, and it is a medical device, class one, and the components are salicylic acid, urea peroxide, zinc, gluconate, and taurine. The other one, the long, Papisk long, is an hydrating product. It is, again, a medical device, class one, and it contains salicylic acid, niacinamide, and saccharide isomerase. All of them are class one medical device, non-invasive, according to the Italian regulation. So salicylic acid is mainly a keratolytic agent, and it also has a mild anti-inflammatory effect, and it favors the penetration of other topical products. And it has been included by us working on as a global alliance in outcomes in acne as a product in the list of the therapies for comedone and mild acne. And urea peroxide is basically an antiseptic, and we have to remember that at these dosages there is no irritation and no bleaching effect. Zinc gluconate is basically an anti-inflammatory, and his power is implemented by the association with taurine. Niacinamide is basically an anti-inflammatory product focused mainly on PMN. So that's one of the standard cases we treat with a non-pharmacologic anti-active treatment. It is a classical acne, mild acne, with a male, 15 years old, and it has been the treated with Papix at night for 3 months, long in the morning, and cleanser every day, twice a day, together with sun protection and elimination of open comedones. So, and as this one, many other patients. So one word about cosmetology. We have to remember that cosmetology is absolutely mandatory to be used together the other acne treatments. So we have detergents, moisturizers, photoprotectors, and makeup camouflage. But I'd like to show you what we usually apply in our patients, because when the aim is maintaining the homeostasis of the skin, and we may have five different items, three of them, type of skin doesn't change. That's a patient. No. The environmental situation, if we have very dry and windy weather, we cannot change it. And if we decide for clinical reasons to use a specific active agents like retinoids, for instance, what we cannot change. The decision on the clinical ground is that one. What we can change is the vehicle. Could be greasy, a cream, ointment, or maybe a gel, alcoholic gel or hydrating gel. What we can change is the cosmetic, detergent, moisturizer, more or less aggressive. And to give you an example, a practical example, if you have a patient with a very oily skin, and the patient lives in Trieste with a very windy and cold weather during the winter, and the active agent we want to use is retinoid, topical retinoid, we may looking for an hydrating vehicle. So we can keep the balance. And regarding the cosmetic, detergent hydrating, we can use something neutral, because we already have obtained the homeostasis. So we move back to our patient-related filling the gap, and we have to remember to pay attention to avoid conflicts with the patients. You know, sometimes we have to a match with not a consultation, a match with some patients. Sometimes they are maybe quite irritating, but we have to keep calm and continue our consultation and never having conflicts. We have to understand the concerns of the patients, so we have to be comprehensive. And when the patients do not like a treatment like oral isotretinoin or maybe some aggressive treatments, we may offer an alternative. I think that another point is close to the patient, but the point is parents and people accompanying the patients. So understand what is on one side the personality of the patient. So the patient could be motivated or interested to the treatment, or maybe the contrary. But sometimes you also have parents, and what is important to understand is a relationship between the atmosphere, what is the role played by the components of the group. And let me show you something related to the relationship.
Io sono il papà della paziente. Abbiamo qui una fantastica paziente adolescente. Acne, dottore.
E anche minorenne.
È minorenne, dottore. C'ho mia figlia che le è venuto questa acne in faccia, gli è proprio esplosa così. Per piacere l'aiuti, lei è qui. È vero Claudia, è vero?
Sì.
È vero Claudia, che è veramente una cosa, una faccia così.
Vedo. D'altro canto, come lei mi diceva, non ha risposto ai trattamenti precedenti con vari topici, anche con prodotti antibiotici.
Sì,
quindi,
sì, ma lei li metteva, se,
No, appunto.
Sì, là, quindi, vero.
Se,
ah, sì.
Secondo me è il momento di passare a un trattamento con la isotretinoina, con la vitamina A per via orale. È chiaro che questo...
La vitamina viene la mattina.
Sì, no, certo, ho capito, però questa è una vitamina un po' particolare e la quale chiede una certa tipologia di accertamenti, perché è utilissima, è la migliore al mondo che si possa utilizzare per risolvere, ma ha un problema che è quello della gravidanza.
Ah, ma non c'è problema. Quindi, la mia bambina, figuriamoci, studia, va in chiesa, esce poco con le amiche, bravissima, è vero? Che...
Posso capire, sarà sicuramente vero, ma io ho da un lato un aspetto istituzionale e legale da osservare, il quale mi dice che nella proposta di questo trattamento devo comunque richiedere esami di laboratorio, tra i quali è anche compreso il test di gravidanza.
Oh, si figuri, glielo dico io, non c'è problema, dia la medicina, che tanto mia figlia, figuriamoci, cioè non esce, se esce l'accompagno io, secondo me è una bambina, queste cose, non le farebbe mai.
Okay, so this is a quite frequent situation that may happen, and so the problem is the management of the parents. So anyway, I think that the last point we have to consider is after the first run of the treatment. So we have to understand if the patients have been happy, satisfied with the treatment, and we have to understand if the message we address to the patients about the modalities of the treatment and the management of all the situations have been sufficiently clear, comprehensive, and fully understood by the patients. So I conclude saying that we have seen that there are a lot of unmet needs in young patients and adolescents with acne. So I think that the most important way to approach the situation is a global approach, considering on one side the disease aspects, but the other side the patient's characteristics. So we have seen that there are some options to fill the gap, but there is not enough today, so we have to work a lot to fill these gaps. Real conclusion, I think we have to do our best to offer to young patients all the instruments that could be useful to make them able to face life events and possibly like clear skin without acne. So thank you for your attention.